know, sometimes it's just good just to wait in God's presence and not do our four song list, but really just to allow God to move and just to whatever it is that He wants to speak into our lives this morning. Amen. How many of you guys are excited about the new year? All right. New year, new commitments. We're believing new increase over your life. And in fact, the series that we're starting this morning is called Increase. How many of you guys want to see increase in your families, increase in your church, yes, increase in wisdom, increase in the favor of the Lord and favor with men? How many of you guys can use some favor with men, even on your job or, you know, wherever it may be? But you also need the favor of the Lord to be upon your life. And so we want to talk about increase in this series. We want to begin with this phrase, and I want you to turn to your neighbor and say it, move forward. Move forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's move forward. Let's move forward. Amen. And so our main text is going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 10. And so if you want to open up your Bibles and turn there, we're going to be there shortly. But let me just give you a little backstory, a little history of what's going on in the story before we actually get there this morning. So Saul, as you know, was the first king of Israel. So the Israelites, they're asking God, God, give us a king, give us a king. And so God gives them the man Saul. And Saul, he was a good king for a while, and he did some really good things. But then one day he decides he's going to disobey God. And instead of, you know, God gives him a direct order to wipe out all the Amalekites. That's what God had told him to do. But yet Saul disobeyed God and did not fulfill the law of God or the word of God. And so because he did not obey God, there is a consequence to his disobedience. How many of you guys know whenever we disobey God, there are consequences to our disobedience? So for Saul, that consequence was that the throne was stripped from him and from his sons, and it was given to a man who was found to be after the heart of God, and that was David. Amen. So God says, you know what? I see this little shepherd boy over here who's tending the field, but he plays his harp and he worships me. I want him to be king. And so whenever God uses Samuel to anoint a new king, he bypasses what man would look at on the outside and say, wow, he's big or he's strong. No, God looks for a man that was after his own heart and says, that's who I want to be my king. That's who I want to be king of Israel. God looks at the heart. Well, whenever Saul realizes that David will become king and not his son Jonathan, he becomes extremely jealous. And he wants to kill David. He wants to take him out. He's like, look, I'm just gonna be God myself. I'm gonna take out David. That way my son can be be king in his place. Well, David's on the run for his life. And Saul made several attempts to try to kill David and try to take him out. But yet God was with David each and every time. God protected David and caused him to escape each and every time because God is faithful. Now, one day, David was in his feelings, and he was just like tired of running from Saul. He was tired of being chased from him. And sometimes we get like that in our lives. We're tired of fighting the fight. We're tired of whatever it may be. And we give in to our emotions. We give in to our feelings. And so he says that the only way that Saul will stop pursuing after me is if I go join myself with the Philistines. Now, this is the most craziest idea ever because the Philistines were the sworn enemy of Israel. The sworn enemy. And nowhere in the scripture do we find that David inquires of the Lord to do this, but rather he was tired of being chased by Saul. He was tired of being afflicted. He said, I'm just going to go and join the Philistines. And so David does this. Well, meanwhile, the Philistines are gearing up to make war with the Israelites. And so the king of the Philistines requires of David, being that he allowed him to stay in his country and he gave him a place and he gave him land and all these things. The king says, look, David, you and your men will come and you will fight with me against Israel. So now, all of a sudden, David finds himself in a situation where he's a man of God, but yet he is about to go to war against the people of God. And so, you know, how many of you guys know that God is so good and he is so merciful that even whenever we blow it, that even though whenever our mistakes brings us into a place of difficulty and hardship, that God still responds on our behalf? God did not allow David to go into battle against the Israelites. God made a way. God began to harden the hearts of the Philistine rulers. And the Philistine rulers began to say to one another, isn't this David? Isn't he the one that they sang the songs, Saul killed 1,000, but David killed his 10,000s? Isn't this him? And so they said, look, we're going to be in the middle of a war, and all of a sudden David is going to turn, and he's going to start fighting against us. We know what this guy can do. We don't want him anywhere near us, is what they begin to say. And so David is sent back to the place where he was staying in the Philistine land, the place called Ziklag, and this is where we pick up the story. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 10. It says this, now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire, and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and the wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So put yourself in David's shoes. You're living in enemy territory. You come back from a fight that you were supposed to go to, and you get sent home, only to find that everything that you own was burned down to the ground. Your wives, your family, taken from you. You have nothing. You have nothing. Everything is burned. Everything is taken from you. It just seems like there is no more hope. Look at verse 4. It says, then David and all the people who were with him raised their voice and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, David had experienced a lot of loss. And perhaps you too experienced a lot of loss in 2020. 2020 has been a weird kind of year, right? Perhaps you lost your peace of mind. Perhaps you lost friends, family members. Perhaps you lost your sanity, you know, just being quarantined for so long. Perhaps you lost financial income and things are a little bit tighter than what they used to be. Perhaps you lost your closeness with God, or you lost that fire that used to burn so brightly because of the things that 2020 has brought, or you lost your passion to advance the kingdom of God. Whatever it is that you lost, David had experienced great loss in his life as well. But it says that he began to encourage himself in the Lord. Now, for David, it took pretty much losing everything before he finally went to the Lord. But he waited till things got that bad, till things were falling apart, where he says, well, I have nothing else to do. Let me go to God. How many of you guys know that's exactly what we do a lot of times? You know, like the married couple who's struggling in their relationship will wait till the marriage is on the brink of divorce before they're like, hey, let's get some godly counsel. Or they'll wait till the bank's knocking at the door and saying, you know, before they change their finances. Their financial situation. We wait till things get absolutely worse, and then we say, oh, well, we'll go to God as a last resort. Let's go to God first, and David wouldn't have been in this mess to begin with. Let's realize who he is and that he is faithful. He is faithful at the beginning. We don't need to go all the way down this path. Amen. That God, that we can change things around. But yet David waits until everything just goes haywire in his life before he goes to God. But David knew one thing. David knew that even as bad as he messed up and as bad as he had blown it, because really it was his fault. It was his fault that he and his men were in the situation that they were in. He did not seek after God. He did not seek after godly wisdom. He took it upon himself to bring he and his men into the Philistine camp. And so his men are rightfully mad at him, all right? And so now he has his friends, his people that he used to war with, and he had won many battles with before. Now they are all against him, and it was his fault. But we know that we serve a God, that even whenever we mess up, that even though we blow it so many times, that he is faithful. He is faithful, and he is loving, and God, David knew that even though he had lost everything else, that God was still his. That he was still a child of God, that he was still his heavenly Father, that he can go to God in his time of trouble. In fact, Psalms 46, verse 1 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. He is very present. Whenever we've blown and we feel like, man, we've gone too far, God is a very present help in time of trouble. Whenever our finances don't look right, God is a very present help in time of trouble. Whenever chaos seems to be in the world, God is a very present help in time of trouble. He is a refuge of strength. David begins to reflect on the faithfulness of God. When nothing else, when he could stand on nothing else, he could stand on God's faithfulness and God's love towards him. It says that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, in other scriptures, we have an example in Psalms 57 of how David did this. This was another time when David was facing hardship, but he begins to say this. He says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn." So he begins to encourage himself with songs and with worship. He begins to adore the name of Jesus. And how many of you guys know whenever you are facing, you're in those slumps, you are facing a difficult time, that you can begin to encourage yourself with worship. You begin to worship the Lord your God and change the atmosphere and put in a worship CD, put in a song, put in K-Love, and listen to the words of God and begin to worship and adore him, and that atmosphere will begin to change. That atmosphere will begin to change. And where you were so hopeless, now hope begins to arise. Amen. That's the power that worship has. He began to make songs and melody to the Lord. He says, "Awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre." In other words, David played a harp and he played a lyre. He says, "I'm going to use my giftings. I'm going to use my talents. I'm going to work them. I'm going to get myself out of this thing. I'm going to exalt the name of Jesus with all that I have." And we're going to see God do some incredible things. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens and your faithfulness to the clouds." Begins to think of the Lord's faithfulness. Begins to think of the Lord's loving kindness towards him. We must reflect on God's faithfulness. We must remind ourselves of how loving God has been to us. Now, how many guys, if you're looking back in your life, you can say, "Wow, God has been faithful to me. God has really shown me some love, you know, even whenever I didn't deserve love. I deserve to be wiped out. I deserve the pit of hell, but yet God showed me love, and he spared me. He washed my sins away. He cleansed me, and he made me the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus our Lord." We reflect on the faithfulness of God. Also, in order to move forward, to forget the loss of 2020, we must reflect on past victories. Continuing in the scripture in verse 7, it says, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, 'Bring me the ephod.' So Abiathar brought the ephod to David." Now, the ephod, it was a garment worn by the high priest, and it was used with the Urim and the Thummim to determine the will of God for Israel during that time. But it was also a reminder of all the victories that God has done for Israel as he's putting on, as he has that ephod and he holds it. He remembers everything that the Lord had done for him, all the victories that God had done for him thus far. Whenever he was a shepherd boy, how it was the Lord God who overcame David and he empowered him to kill the lion and the bear that came after those sheep. It was the Lord God who surpassed all his brothers and picked David and anointed him to be king. It was the Lord God who did this. It was the Lord God, whenever he was facing Goliath, empowered that stone with that slingshot to kill that big giant. It was the Lord God who was fighting for him. He begins to remember the victories. He begins to remember what the Lord has done. Amen. And so sometimes it's hard to do that whenever all we see is loss. If you're just looking at the loss around you, and perhaps you're looking at the loss of 2020, like, man, I just lost so much. But let me remind you and let me encourage you this morning of all the good things that happened in 2020. Let me just build your faith for a minute, because as Hope Community Church, some great things happened this past year. Amen. And so we have prayed more than ever as a corporate body, including 24-hour prayer every single month, you know, this past year in 2020. We have been so adamant about this and praying. We have had our first outdoor Sunday morning service in which we had 160 people attend. That's amazing. If you remember that service, it was so awesome. It was so incredible. And we were so excited. We have had the highest number of attendees this year at our Christmas service at 180 people between the two services. That's awesome. Come on, let's begin to think and reflect on the victories that God has done this year and this past year, and not worry about the loss that we've encountered, but let's look at what God has brought us through. Amen. We have been faithful to evangelizing every single month, going into our communities and telling people about Jesus every single month this past year. We have started two ministries. One, Hope Feeds the Soul, which helps out our homeless. And we have given out hundreds of bags, food bags, this year to the homeless. And we have also started our cooking ministry, in which we help those who are in need who are in our church. And we have helped out so many of those as well. We have had, this year, we have had our largest D-Now ever, which is our young people's program. We have had 100 young people at D-Now this past year. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? 100 teenagers came into the house of the Lord and heard a message about Jesus, and they might not be changed right then, but they will remember that word, and in due season, we will see a harvest. Amen. We started streaming live this year, with Facebook, just enabling more people to engage in our services. Our Wednesday night services have just been incredible, and we have seen increased growth, in every area. The men's ministry, the women's ministry, the children's ministry, the youth. In every area, we have seen substantial growth on our Wednesday nights. In fact, I said at the first service that we have more people on Wednesday nights than we do on Sunday mornings, which is awesome. I love that because, that says that, look, we are serious about discipleship. We are serious about growing in the things of God. We are serious about our relationship with Jesus Christ. So kudos to everyone who comes here on the Wednesday night and is a part of that. We have continued to support missionaries even during this pandemic. This past year, we have given $10,384 to missions to support all those who are doing the work of the Lord in other parts of the world. Not just here in Houma, but talking about like France. We're talking, El Salvador. We're talking, go check out our board right there in the hall, all the different missionaries that we support. $10,384 to missions. And we were able to keep everything that we're doing. And we did not lack, amen? We did not lack. Only God can do that. That's not bragging on us. That's not bragging on what we did. But that is the power of God. That is what He can do because He owns everything. Everything is in His control. And so even if we go through a pandemic, come on, we are God's people. We are His chosen possession. We will not lack. We declare the favor of the Lord upon our lives. We will continue to move forward, amen? He takes care of us. We have no need to be afraid. We have no need to worry. He's done more this past year in a pandemic than ever, it seems, Reflect on past victories. Reflect on past victories. What about your life? What are some past victories that He has done in your life? What are some things, some personal victories that He has done in your life? Begin to reflect on those things. And the next thing I would say is that you are to be encouraged and move forward. If David wouldn't have encouraged himself in the Lord, perhaps we wouldn't be reading this story this morning. We wouldn't be reading about David. We wouldn't be, who's David? But because he began to encourage himself in the Lord, God began to give him back everything that the enemy stole from him. Let's look at it in verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue after this band?" So he gets it right. At the beginning, he just flees to the Philistines without asking God. Now we see him inquiring of the Lord, "Shall I pursue?" Don't you know you need divine intervention in your life? You need divine wisdom in your life. Lord, should I do this? Should I go to this place? Should I work at this job? Should I marry this person? You need divine wisdom in your life. We all do. "Shall I pursue after this man? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue." So David set out, and his 600 men who were with him, Before we just read they were about to stone him. Before we just read that they were blaming David, but now they are with him, because when a man of faith begins to rise up and declare the word of God that is inspiring, and only God can change their heart, where they were sitting around and they were in their mully grubs and they were wallowing in their sorrow, and God begins to say, no, you're going to move forward. You're going to move forward. You're going to accomplish great things. So now we see that the men of David were with him. They were not against him. And they're marching. And they're going to conquer and regain everything that the enemy has taken. He answered and pursue, for you shall surely, it's definite, it's already happened, shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. So David set out and the 600 men who were with him. And they came to the brook Bezor, where those who were left behind stayed. So David couldn't do this on his own. David couldn't regain all those families that had been lost. He couldn't do that on his own. He needed all 1,200 hands, 600 people. He needed them all to come and help him. Now, as pastors of Hope Community Church, I believe that God has given us some great and some awesome visions and some goals for this year. But just like David, we need each and every one of you. We need each and every helping hand that we can have to accomplish the vision of the house. And so we just want to kind of go over some of our goals for this year. And we just want to look at your life, ask yourself to look at your life and say, what is my part to play? What am I doing right now? But what can I be doing? How can I help the vision of this house? Now, the first thing is, so if you would take out your sheet that looks like this, has a bunch of little squares on it, and if we can pass out some ink pens right now, that would be awesome. If you need an ink pen, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you need an ink pen. All right, we're getting those ink pens out to you as quickly as we can. Amen. So many of you guys know that we've always wanted this property right over here, and we even have a greater vision to grab the whole center, really. We want it all. We want the parking lot. We want every building that's right here. We want it all for the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, right now it's landlocked, and the owner is not willing to negotiate or to come to our terms. But it doesn't mean that it's not ours. It just means that it's going to take a little longer than we expected. Amen. And so I'm still claiming it as ours. It's still for the kingdom of God. We're still going to do great and awesome things. But at the same time, we want to move forward as Hope Community Church. And so one way that we can move forward is by paying down our debt on this building. And so we're going to set a goal this year. You know, we owe $321,000 on this building. You know, as you guys know, whenever we bought this place, it was a mess. It was an empty shell, and we did a ton of renovations. And we had a big down payment put down, but we still owe money. We owe $321,000. That's a lot, right? It seems like a lot. It's nothing for God. Amen. Tell your neighbors, hey, that's nothing for God. That's pocket change for God. Amen. But we're wanting to get that debt down from $321,000 to $290,000 by the end of the year. Amen. And so just to take a big chunk of that debt. So we're putting that, the money that we're putting in right now, we're going to put even more in and try to pay that down. So we're asking you, how can you play a part? What is your part to play in that aspect? Hey, well, if you are a tither, let me just say that we appreciate you. We love you and thank you so much. But if you, you know, like my wife said earlier, if you're not really giving, we would pray that you would consider helping out in this area. You know, I figured if we had 40 households at an average of $62 per week, we'll meet that financial goal. We will meet it. And so what is your part to play? You know, I would just say, hey, give generously. Just give generously. Give what the Lord would have you to give. And I can attest to what my wife said, how whenever you begin to give your 10%, that the Lord just blesses the 90%. And I'm telling you, as I begin to, I've seen this whenever I worked, that whenever there's a season, that first of all, where I wasn't giving my tithe, where I thought, well, I can't afford to give my tithe. Well, I realized that everything just starts falling apart, and I couldn't afford to not give my tithe. And so as soon as I decided to change my heart, I mean, I begin to get raised upon raise upon raise upon raise. You know, at my other job that I used to work at, it was the favor of God and it was the favor of men. There's a biblical principle, you know, in that. And so anyway, the next thing is that we want to continue our two services, 9:30 and 11, because we feel like, hey, look, this is a great this is a great opportunity to do it, because look, we started out as being socially distanced, but really we were like, you know, we really want to fill up this place in two services. That's been our heart for some time. And I think that was just God just kind of pushing us and allowing us to dream bigger and just to not put him in a box. And so anyway, we're going to continue our 9:30 and 11 o'clock services all years. What we need you to do is show up on time. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, be on time.
Be on time.
Be on time. And we have a countdown at 9:30 and 11 o'clock. You know, so don't become walking in here right after the first song or try to get, I know what you guys do. You come after the first song so that you don't have to give. I got you figured out. I got you figured out. Come be here on time and be a part of what God is doing here. Amen. So what is your part to play? Show up on time. Invite people. Invite a guest and serve here at the church. The next thing we want to do is have a sustained 150 in attendance between the two services. I believe that's very attainable. That's very attainable. How are we going to do that? We're going to commit to inviting one person every week. How many guys can do that? You say, I can invite one person every week to Hope Community. Amen. And here's the important thing, the next part, make people feel welcome whenever they come through the doors. Everyone should feel welcome whenever they come through the doors. Amen. And so, to be honest, it's just been a handful of people who's been talking and making people feel welcome. But I want everyone to make people feel welcome. Everyone take on the responsibility. I'm going to make people feel welcome whenever they come to Hope Community Church. If this is your church, right? How many of you guys would say this is your church? Well, let's take some ownership of it. Amen. Let's make people feel welcome whenever they come here. And so the next thing is that we're going to have one meaningful conversation with someone on a Sunday morning. And we're going to talk, we're going to tell high five or air five people and tell them hello every Sunday morning. We're going to give out 25 food baskets for the homeless per month. 25 per month. Amen. So what is your part to play? Hey, donate food. We need food donations. Maybe write down some cards. Write down, hey, look, just a scripture or something. Here's something that the Lord spoke to me. Just write down that scripture and put it on a nice card or something that we can give in those food baskets. You never know how that can impact someone. You never know how that will meet them right in their area of need. And so that's another way that we can get involved. We're going to continue our monthly Hope to the Streets. And so, yes, amen. If you don't know what Hope to the Streets is, that's our evangelism. And so, come and be a part. Come and be a part. We walk the streets and we tell people about Jesus. It's a great time. Or if you have dancing skills, I do not. But if you have dancing skills, talk to Miss Kim. We're gonna have those programs again. So, or if you're good with dramas and different things, you don't want me to dance, I'm telling you, it's just bad, it's bad. All right, so I'll just stick to what I do good. But anyway, otherwise you can talk to Miss Kim. The next thing is that we're gonna have a quarterly Super Sunday. And what a Super Sunday is that we're gonna have a salvation message where you can invite your friends, you can invite your family, you can invite those who are lost, and it's going to be geared towards salvation. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Hey, look, and as we were planning this out, we said quarterly on the sheet, but we actually had six of them that we wrote down. Six meetings, six Salvation Sundays where we will have an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. So we're excited about that. You can help as a volunteer. You can set up tables and set up sound whenever we do those outside services. You can volunteer as a cook, get with Mr. Glenn and Miss Lena. You can donate money to help those costs. And if you have any connections, we can use those connections as well. Here's another thing. Whenever we have our Super Sundays, let's not be like our four and no more, but let's go out and have conversations with people. Let's make people feel welcome whenever they come to our Super Sundays. Amen. We're going to implement section leaders. Now, what is that? Well, we have different sections in our church, right? And so we're going to have people who will be there every single Sunday, and they will talk to their people in their section. They will get to know their people in their section. They will pray with people in their section. Now, let me just tell you that you must, if you're interested in this, you must be faithful and you must be friendly. If you're not faithful, if you're not friendly, we don't want you doing that, all right? We'll find something else for you to do. But if you're faithful and you're friendly, we can use you as a section leader. Amen. Because that's a pretty important thing. So that's going to be talking with people, praying with people, telling them about the different discipleship programs that we have, and it just really plugging people in. Number eight, we're going to enlist volunteers. Everybody can contribute. Everybody can volunteer once a month, you know, either a Sunday or a Wednesday, as one of these. We need greeters, you know, just greeting people as they walk through the doors. Ushers to help maintain order. Whenever you have kids running around in the service, we have an usher to say, hey, look, we have a nursery and those kind of things. You know, we need that. Children's church workers. If you are solid in your walk with the Lord and you love kids, you have a passion for kids, hey, we can use you in our children's church department. If you don't feel like you can teach, we can use you as a helper. Again, faithful to the Lord and enthusiastic about kids. Now, if you have a good driving record, I'm not saying that whenever you hit that green light, you floor it and see how fast you can go from 0 to 60. We don't want you as a van driver. We need good people with clean records if you're interested in being a van driver. But we need to get people to church. You know, some people don't have a means to get there. And so the van driving ministry is an important ministry where you can connect people from where they're at to the house of the Lord. Amen. And then we need nursery workers. Amen. And so if you have a baby, or if you love babies, you should consider nursery workers, being a nursery worker. At least volunteer once a month. I don't have a baby. I'm not going to volunteer in the nursery. But if you have a baby, you should volunteer in the nursery at least once a month. Amen. Now, we also need media workers. That is those who are running the main slides and those who are running the live feed slides. And we're also going to be running the slides in Kids Church. And so, yes. We're excited about Kids Church because we are revamping Kids Church next year, and that's the next thing I want to talk about. We are revamping it this year. And so if you haven't noticed, just kind of peek inside of Kids Church and you'll see that a wall is gone. And you might wonder, why in the world is a wall gone in Kids Church? Because we are believing in our kids ministry this year that God is going to do something incredible. And so we're going to revamp it to make it a fun atmosphere where kids will feel comfortable inviting their friends and their families. And through this, we believe that as the kids ministry grows, that the church is going to grow as well. Amen. And so, anyway, be looking for that. There's some really cool designs that are floating in my head that's about to be passed on to that little building. It is going to be great. So we're going to change the physical appearance, and so we need creative people. We're going to be adding dramas. And so, again, young people, if you like being involved in dramas and acting out Bible characters, we can use you in our kids' church. Would you consider that? And so and then the next thing is that we also want to increase, like, the incentives for kids to invite other kids. You know, like, have games, have candy, have whatever it is. Well, guess what? All those things cost money. So if you guys can donate those things, be a part. Hey, look, I'm going to give these gifts. I'm going to give these candies so that these kids can invite other kids to church. We can use that as well. And then lastly, we're going to implement a team who explains salvation at the end of every service. And so, as you guys know, we have a salvation call once in a while, and people lift up their hands. But there needs to be a way to connect them from lifting up their hands to saying, okay, what is next? And perhaps that's you, where you can say, you know what, I can tell someone what is next. I am solid in my faith. I am solid in my walk with the Lord, that I can tell you what's next. I can begin to point you and explain to you the importance of baptism. Then we can use you as one of those team members. And so here's the thing. David, he needed all 600 people to get back, to gain back what the enemy has stolen. And just to reflect back what was stolen, families. Families were stolen. Possessions were stolen. Seemed like everything was stolen from David. Hope was stolen. As Hope Community Church, we are moving forward. Amen. And we know that the enemy has tried to steal a lot from in 2020, but we are regaining everything that the enemy has tried to take. We are regaining families. We are regaining loved ones who have slid away, those who have backslid, those who have fallen away from the Lord. We are regaining them. We are gaining our friends and our family, those who do not know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. We believe that there are spiritual brothers and our spiritual sisters that the enemy has tried to sift out. We are regaining ground. Amen. But we need you. We need every hand on deck. We need David's army to rise up. We need the church of the living God to rise up and everyone do their part. Amen. Hope this has been encouraging to you. Hope as you begin to reflect on God's faithfulness and how faithful he has been to you, that you would want someone to experience that same faithfulness. As you reflect on the victories that God has done in your life, that you would want someone else to experience victory in their life. And as you are encouraged and that you move forward, that you would want others to be encouraged and move forward in their lives. Amen. But would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for all that you are to us and how good you have been, how faithful you have been to this church and to us. We're just so grateful, Lord, for your faithfulness. God, we thank you, Lord, for all the victories that you have done. For everything you have done in Hope Community Church thus far, we thank you for it, Lord God. For what you have done in our lives, you have set us free from the pit of hell, from the slavery of sin. God, you have set us free. You have wiped us clean as snow. We thank you. God, we're just so grateful. We pray, God, that we would be encouraged. We pray that we would move forward. We would not focus on the loss of 2020, but we would focus on the one who's got us through those losses in 2021. In the name of Jesus. God, we just give you all the glory and praise. And I pray that each and every one of us will look at our lives and see, how can I contribute? How can I help Hope Community Church reach the goals that we believe that God has given us? What is my part to play? Help us, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for each person this year. I pray that your favor will be upon them. I pray blessings upon them and their families right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that no sickness will come near them. I pray, God, that your covering, Lord, will protect them, that you will go before us, you will go behind us and beside us and all around us, that you would envelop us, O Lord, in your presence, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us to dream big and not limit you, not to put you in a box, but, Lord, to believe that you are God Almighty and there is nothing that is impossible with God. There is nothing, Lord. Your hand is not too small. Lord, your pockets are not too small. Lord God, I believe in you, Lord God. I believe that you are able to do abundantly and above all that we can even ask or think. We place our hope and our trust in you, Lord Jesus. Lead us and guide us. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fill it out. It's for you. And then come talk to Pastor Ted or myself or some of the leaders and say, you know what? I want to do this year. In Jesus' name, we want you to be involved. We love you guys. We will see you Wednesday at 6:30. And have a great day. And just come and talk to us. We'll be here, you know, for the next couple of minutes on how you can be a part of moving forward in the vision that God has for us. Amen. We'll see you soon.